Last week we talked about the gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus at his birth, and we walked through those. And the prior week I talked about bad gifts, like when you get some horrible gifts. And I heard everything from vacuum cleaners to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to trash cans. Like, these are some terrible gifts, y'all. I hope you're doing better this year. I pray that this church has served you well to be able to help you to be a better gift giver. But I had a gift recently given to me by a few members of our church, and I was taking it back and really seriously floored. It was just an expression of thoughtfulness. So they broke through this crusty shell I have sometimes about gift giving and all. And I just seriously just admired the fact that was done. So what are some great gifts? Let me hear from you guys. Let's have a two-way street here. What are some of the best gifts you've ever received? You can shout it out. Just, it's okay to brag. It's called a humble brag. It's called a humble brag. I'm being humble, but the pastor said I can say it, so I can brag a little bit. What are some great gifts that you've received in your life? Shout them out. Whoa. Brother got saved. Jesus juke. Outdoor fire pit. That's very cool. A Wii. Kenny Chesney. Hey, for half of the room, that's debatable. Other gifts? Shout them out. Children. Some others? Come on now, don't be shy. An Xbox. There you go. Very good. Very good. Any others? His PS4? Yeah. The wife selling out the husband. His PS4. So we know where we go. Apparently this church games a little bit, so we can hang out that way. So one of my greatest gifts was as a child, I had come down to the Christmas tree, and this is another, my best friend John, we bust on each other about our sermons because we could probably preach each other's sermons by now. And so the other night he was busting on me. He was like, "Oh yeah, I was poor, grew up in the projects," and I was like, "Oh yeah, I lost my ring on a mountain and God showed me where it was." And so we like joke about each other's sermons, but this is legit. I was poor. So I can't help it. So we were in the housing projects, and so I had come down, I had a terrible Christmas like the Christmas before, and I peeled through all my papers and through everything, and I got like socks and I got Legos, and I was kind of like bummed out, and we got to the end of all of the Christmas wrap. And I was really bummed. I had a bad attitude. Like, I was a terrible kid. I'd have kicked me out of the house. Like, I would have done that. So I got to the end, and my sisters are still opening up their gifts, and my mom is just laughing, like, and hysterically laughing, can't hold her container. She's just watching me wallow in my sorrow of Christmas, and she's laughing about it. And I look up as like this 7-8-year-old, and I'm like, "You're an evil human being. Like, I'm heartbroken over Christmas, and you're happy right now." And my mom's busting. And I'm like, "Mom, it ain't funny." And I started to stomp. And she points over to the wall. She's like, "Tali, look against the wall." Now, against the wall, who looks against the wall? I'm looking under the tree. I'm looking down. But up against the wall was this big wrapping. And I was like, "That's mine?" Yeah. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you score the quality of the gift based on the size. Right? And then we've all ruined that because we've all done the trick where we put a ginormous box and then make them unwrap six of them to get to, y'all are evil. But so up against the wall, there's this huge wrapping, and I go and I unwrap it, and I promise it was like the Christmas Story movie. It wasn't like a Red Rider, you know, shotgun, but it was a charger, a red charger bicycle. And I was like, "Ooh." And I still have a scar from that thing. I had to go to Hopkins and get my hand cut open. But anyhow, so the Charger bicycle, and I went nuts. I was like, "This is awesome. This is a great gift." And so I ended up riding out. I mean, it's cold outside, but you know, you got snot running down your body. Who cares? You're 7, right? And so I just go out and I start doing jumps and all, and this was the greatest gift I had ever received. But what I notice about us at Christmas time, Christ followers mainly, is that a lot of times, we don't recognize the value of the gifts that we're given. A lot of times we have our expectations so set on one thing that we're missing the big thing. We're missing the real thing. And a lot of us, we have torn through different areas of life and we haven't got what we wanted. And so it's deterred our ability to have joy for the great thing that's sitting right there. And many of us at Christmas, if we're not careful, we're going to miss the great thing because we're so focused on the small things. We're so focused on the here and now, the right in the moment. And I want to encourage us at this Christmas to say, you know what, my week this week will not be that way. I'm 1 week to Christmas. I've got a runway now. I can see it. How many of you say, I'm finished shopping? Awesome. We have a procrastinating group. How many of us say, I haven't even started shopping? Amen. I'm in that group. I'm in that group as the leader. So it goes to church. But here's the thing. So as we go into this week, we can all look back and there's only a few of us that are finished shopping. So maybe the sermon isn't for you. But for the rest of us, we can all look this week and say, we're not going to be distracted. Like, we're going to focus on the big gift. We're going to focus on the big thing. And yes, we'll do the other thing. We'll give out cookies and we'll enjoy Christmas cheer. But at the end of the day, man, we're going to get joy from the big gift. Because for some of us, the big gift is still leaning up against the wall, having yet to be unwrapped, even though we're 1 week from Christmas. And I don't want to encourage you this week to be able to look into the scriptures and say, Lord, there's a big gift waiting for me. Let me unwrap that gift this week. Let me unwrap that gift in my life this week. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is where we are. And we'll pick up. It goes a little something like this. In those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world shall be registered. Now, when it says all the world, it means like all the world under his power. When you're a king, that's the only world you care about. So all the world would be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because that was the house in the lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I want to just pause there when we talk about all of this stuff, when we talk about what gets us up and gets us down. I want you to go back to the first Christmas. I want you to go back to the birth of Christ and remember the humbling circumstances that Jesus was born into. The humbling circumstances that God chose to implant himself into this world. And so you have this mom, she's pregnant, scared, not what's going on. She's trusting in God. Her fiance thought about really just sending her off, which ultimately could have led to her death or her stoning. And all this stuff was going on, the chaos around it. And then they have to go on a journey. I remember when we first moved to Baltimore to plant Captivate Church, I remember my daughter Ainsley was still in the womb. And so we actually moved here on Thanksgiving Day while Christy was 8 months pregnant. I win husband of the year, right? But that's kind of what was happening. In our case, it was a U-Haul in 4.5 hours. In their case, this was like a long journey on foot or with a donkey, right? So I'm sure I would have been better than Joseph in that picture. But here's the deal. So they pull up and they go back to their home to be registered according to Joseph's family and all that. And so here they line up and she wraps him in swaddling a cloth and lays him in a manger. This would be more like a feeding trough. This would be more like a feeding trough carved into the side of a cave, essentially, is the type of environment that this is in. And while they were there, they came and gave birth. She gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped them in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Think about that. There was just no place for Jesus. There was just no place for the Savior. We still have that problem today, don't we? There's just no place. With everything else we got going on, there's just no room. With all of our busyness in our day-to-day, there's just no time to open up the Bible. With all of what's going on at work, there's just no room for us to give resources to God. With all of the bills that we've got packed up, and there's just no place. And so from the very beginning, God could have, if you and I were God, you and I would have had ourselves riding in on that white horse, and we'd have just taken over and destroyed all of our enemies and wiped it all out and been done and dusted. But that's not how our God chose to enter the world. Our God chose to enter the world not triumphantly, not with a braggadocious style, not with an attitude. Our God came in humbly in Jesus. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, it says this, "Let each of you look not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, and he took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of a man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so we're encouraged as Christ followers. If you say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," many of us, we say, "I'm a Christian." That means God's for me and his favor goes before me and everything's going to work out. And all of those things are true. But also, I'm a Christian who is following and worshiping a Savior that was born in a manger. I'm a Christian who is following the one who was humble, even though he had the ability to be stronger. I'm a Christian who follows Jesus, who even though he could walk around and proclaim himself king, he often left it to others to decide how he would be described. You see, I'm a Christian and I believe God is for me. I believe God clears the path. I believe God's favor goes before his kids. But I'm also a Christian who says my posture in it all should be humble, should be resolved, should be looking out for the interests of others instead of myself. See, I'm a Christian. And so by the very birth of Jesus, the notice was served. This is how it's going to be. It's going to be that we serve a God who would remain humble and wishes for us to remain humble. No matter the amount of gift, no matter the amount of blessing, no matter the amount of strength, no matter the loudness of our voice, no matter how much weight we can lift, no matter how much money in our pocket, no matter how big the house or how small the house or how big the car, I'm a Christian, and so I'm humble. And for a type A personality like myself, that's a constant churning and a constant reminder that, you know, I'm following a humble, humble God. And so at Christmas, while we celebrate, we're celebrating humility, which is kind of weird in our day and age, isn't it? We don't often celebrate humility, but that's what Christmas is about. Celebrating humility, celebrating lifting others up, celebrating humble beginnings of our Lord. So then the scripture continues in verse 8, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear." Can I get an amen? If I was out in the middle of a field, and an angel showed up, and the glory of God descended, like, I would need a diaper. I'm not lying to you. I would need some help. But so here's where they were, and they had great fear, and chaos is breaking out around them. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." I'd be like, "You try. Take your own advice." Like, are you kidding me? "So fear not, for behold, I bring you," everybody say it, "good news of great joy." Let's say that again. "Good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Everybody say all. I went to seminary and they told me that all means all, and that's all means. So when you look at the joy and the good news, it should be for all people. Everybody in this room, this message is for you. This love is for you. This ability for God to come close is for you. I don't care who you are, where you've been. I don't care what sin you've been struggling with. I don't care how other people have elevated or tried to put you down. What I care about is that this message is for you. That you are welcome, that you are loved, and it is good news of great joy. If you're jotting notes, write this down. Christmas is the gift of good news of great joy. Christmas is the gift of good news of great joy. Many of us live our lives watching a lot of bad news. And the latest this year is fake news. I'm learning. And so a lot of us, we are caught up in what news comes in, and other people dictate what news is. I often tell people that it's you have the ability in most cases to shut your eyes, turn your head, to not hear people. You have the ability to discern what type of news you receive into your life. Now, there are certain times when tragedy strikes your family up close, and you know what? There's no getting around it. But a lot of us, what we do is we don't run to the good news. A lot of us, we are prone to absorb and repeat and ultimately to carry out a lot of negative news, a lot of bad news. We love to reinvent. Now, here's the thing. When you take something bad that happens and then you repeat it, and then they repeat their bad story and you repeat your bad story, and it goes back and forth like ping pong. Before you leave, you have taken an incident that lasted 15 seconds and turned it into 15 minutes of your life. Some of us, we are not addicted to the good news. But as Christians, that's exactly who we are. We are the people of the good news. We are the people to look and to say, this world is filled with bad news. This world is filled with tragedy. This world is filled with hardship. This world, Jesus even said that you will always have the poor among you. He wasn't saying that like a proclamation. He was saying that like reality, that it is hard. Life is difficult. And it is not easy on someone else, because here's what I know. I know people that have it all. Our missionary in the city, Colleen, one of the things she does that she doesn't really tell me about on a day-to-day basis, we have to kind of check in once a month or so on this missions project, but she goes and she reaches out to prostitutes, and she essentially finds them on advertising spaces where the Johns put up their product. And so she goes and she reaches out, and her whole goal is to teach them that they're not anybody's product, that they are daughters of a king, and that they are loved. But wouldn't you know, you would think that, oh, well, there's a certain type of person. But one of the things that I've learned in being Colleen's pastor and walking with her through this is that, you know, a lot of the people that are involved in this, they come from great homes. The outward appearance looks amazing. There's no reason for them to be down. And so when you're going through your life and you're wrestling with your struggle and you're hearing the bad news or you're meditating on bad news, there's not another person's life out there that all of a sudden, if I had that, I would have it all together. If I had that, I would be better. If I lived there in that zip code, I'd be... It's just not real. You're going to go through tragedy. You're going to go through heartbreak. You're going to go through bad news. But you have a question. The question is, will I meditate on the bad news? Will I continue to respond to the bad news? Will I continue to talk about the bad news? Will I be a person who tracks in the bad? Will I be the type of person that will echo chamber the bad news of this world? Or will I be a person of the good news? Will I be a person of great joy? You see, as Christ followers, our faith would be so much more appealing to the world if we would be the bearers of the good news, not the bad news. And when somebody comes and they say, I've got bad news, say, listen, if it happened to you, I am walking with you. I'm going to help you get through it. But we're not going to keep meditating on it, because you're not defined by the bad news. You're defined by the good news. The good news is that Jesus loves you. The good news is that God cares for you. The good news is that the Savior came close. That is all the good news. And so I want you to be defined. I want you to learn how to be defined by the good news of God and not the negative news of the world, because the negative news of the world will always be there. But you know what is there even more and even stronger? It's the good news of Jesus. Am I going to be defined by the good news or the bad news? It's up to you. In most cases, it really is up to you to determine what's going to come into your ear, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to meditate on, what you're going to speak. Are you a person of the good news? Are you a person of the bad news? I pray to God that as Christmas comes, that you say, Lord, would you please make me a man or a woman of the good news, of great joy, not average joy, not mediocre joy, not lackluster joy. I want to be a person that speaks the good news of what joy? Great joy. Great joy. You might have to get in the mirror and you might just have to be crazy for a little while. You might have to get in the mirror, look in that mirror, and just say, I'm going to be a person of great joy. And it's not going to feel right. You're going to say, wow, you look really corny. And you look at yourself and you say, that's bad news. I'm a person of great joy. either one or two things will happen. You know, you'll get better, or your family will knock on the door and wonder what's going on. But either way, you fight hard for the good news and the great joy. Christmas is the gift of good news and great joy. You see, here's the thing. I think it's amazing that the angel of the Lord went and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Why did God care to make sure that the shepherds knew that there would be good news and great joy? Because even in that day, not modern day America, not with all the bombings, not with Aleppo, not with everything that's going on, good news of great joy was something to celebrate. Good news of great joy. Some of us need to celebrate more. Some of us need to just go home and throw a party for ourselves. Some of us need to go watch Saturday Night Live. Not modern, the old one. People like me, right? Let's get in the mirror. People like me. Hey, if you need help with that, email me, pastor@catavatechurch.com. I will meet with you and tell you how awesome you are. You need to live. Somebody's going to take me up on that, aren't you? Sounds like a deal. I get something out of that guy. Sermons are flat. But here's the deal. Verse 11. For unto you, here's the good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. Everybody say a sign. Now, before we read any further, when you think of a sign, I'm thinking of Vegas. Right? I'm like, man, this is about to be good. I mean, they came down. Their entrance was stellar. They had lights and woo! And some, you know, remember the diaper? And so now they're just like, hey, we're going to give you a sign. And I'm sitting there. I'm just like, yeah, that's got to be awesome. Filled with heaven, lights, angels. This is a production from New York City. What he said. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth. Lying in a manger. What? Come again? The sign of God has come. It's going to be me finding a baby wrapped in clothing, laying in a stable? Like that would be child abuse. How is it a sign that God's good? Like that would be crazy. We'd be like, hey, report this person. They got their kid laying in a feeding trough. You know? The camel keeps licking its face. Like, get this baby out of here. That's terrible. Good news. What's up with this? But that's the whole point. The whole point is that you talk about humility. You talk about a God of all power who chooses to make himself nothing to prove a point. But yet you and I, we have itsy bitsy power. And we fight to pronounce it. We fight to make it bigger. We fight to raise our voice, raise our profile, raise our Facebook. We want more followers and likes, and we Instagram just only the good picture. Take 58 pictures. The light hit us one way that gets rid of that blind spot, that one dead spot in our face, and we're just like, yes. That's how we live. But Jesus is like, hey, yeah. The angels. Yeah. When you're going to know that it's God, because God's going to be laying wrapped up in pieces of cloth. By the way, just so you understand, the in this day, the mothers would wrap the skin of their children to kind of prevent kind of disease, and they basically mummify the baby. So it's not like most mangers. It looks like it's, you know, a baby delivered from Hopkins or, you know, Mount Sinai or something like that. Like, no, it's a mummy. And so they're like, hey, yeah, you're going to find this baby, and it's going to be wrapped like a mummy. It's going to be laying in a trough. That's the sign of God. Let me ask you this. Are you disappointed because you're looking for your sign in your life and not God's sign? Is your disappointment based because you're looking for the wrong sign? Am I disappointed because I'm looking for the wrong sign? You see, I believe in my flesh, when God is for me, it's going to be like the Vegas Strip. It's going to be like Disneyland. It's going to be beautiful. But what if the sign God's trying to get through to me is a baby laying in a trough. What if God's trying to get through to me in the subtle? And I'm looking for the sparkle. What if God's trying to get through to me in the humble? And I'm looking out for the first place trophy. Is it possible God's already blessing you? You see, I missed my gift because it was up against the wall and I was so focused underneath the tree. But a bicycle could not fit underneath a tree. I mean, it could, but there had to be some work on the tree there. Right? What if where you're looking and what you're looking for is not what God's giving you at all? Christmas is the gift of a Savior to the sinner. Christmas is the gift of a Savior to the sinner. You see, if what you needed was more education, God would have sent a teacher. If what you needed was an army, God would have sent a general. If what the world needed was more money, God would have sent a banker. But since the world needed a Savior, God sent His Son. What if the reason you're disappointed is you're looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing? Let's conclude with this. Verse 13. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those from whom He is pleased." Glory to God in the highest. Christmas is the gift of glory to God and peace to you. Christmas is the gift of glory to God and peace to you. I read a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says this. He says, "In commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him." In commanding us to glorify Him, what God is doing is inviting us to enjoy Him. You see, today, when the Ravens beat up on the Eagles, I'm going to glorify in the touchdown. I'm going to glorify in the win. And you know what that means is when I give glory and I say, "Go Ravens," when I do that, it is my joy being made complete. And so you and me as Christ followers, the reason we should be giving joy to God, one great reason is we find our joy in Him. So when we give glory to God, we are being fulfilled in our joy. But some of us, we're not apt to give glory to God, and as a result, we're wondering why our joy is so low. But what if you said, "God, I'm going to give You glory for everything You've done for me. I'm going to give You glory for the life that I've lived. I'm going to give You glory for the people that love me. I'm going to give You glory for what I do have, not what I don't have. I'm going to give You glory for my friendships, glory for my church around me. I'm going to give You glory, Lord." What if I would focus on giving God glory for everything He's already done, instead of spending all of my time on the bad news, worrying about what hasn't been done? What if I gave God more glory? I'll tell you what. You would have more joy. Because you can't give glory when there is no joy. Christmas is the gift of glory to God. And what comes with giving glory to God when you have God in His proper place in your life? When God gets the glory for who He is. What comes with having that joy of giving Him His glory? His peace. Shalom. It's that the world is as it should be. The world as it should be isn't me hearing and pumping out the bad news. That's not how it should be. The world as it should be is not me glorying in myself and denying the Savior His glory. The glory as it should be is not me constantly looking for the Vegas strip when God has given me a baby in a manger. But when I give God glory for who He is, what He's done, where He's brought me, and where He's going to take me, then I get fulfilled with joy and I have a sense of peace. You see, the angst that we have in this world is when we're fighting for something that God may not even want for us. I get most anxious when I want things to be done my way. But when I turn and say, Lord, no, 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 I want your will to be done. And when I know that the stress and the anxiety and the outcomes are all dependent on what God wants to happen for me, I can have peace because I'm letting go of the ability to have total control. And I'm giving that to the one whose proper hands, by the way, can do far more with my life than my own. Frankly, whose hands do I want my life in more? Do I think I can do more? Or do I think my Savior could do more? I believe with everything that's in me that when I hand Jesus the concerns, when I hand Jesus my life, when I let Jesus know that He's supreme in all decision making, then I know I'm getting the best outcome for my life possible. I'm not feeding off the bottom. I'm not having a lot of regret. Because no matter how the outcome works, it was God's decision. Too many of us are anxious this Christmas season because we think the amount of money we spend is going to bring us more love. Or we think if we had more money, then we would have more friends. Let me just go ahead and tell you no. There are prostitutes in Baltimore City who come from amazing homes with plenty of money. There are people in very wealthy homes that are taking pills to get by right now. So do not believe that if you had a little bit more, it would all be better. It's just not true. But what you can believe is that if God has complete control over your life, you will experience joy and you will experience shalom, peace. See, Christmas is about the good news of great joy, a Savior being brought to a sinner, and glory to God and peace to you. That's Christmas. Let's pray.